New Zealand version of Goodfellas?
It's a New Zealand version of Goodfellas where,
like
in the original version of Goodfellas, where they play the Layla piano bit and all the bodies are revealed of the people that were involved in the, I think, the Lufthansa heists.
Yeah.
Maybe in the New Zealand version you could use that piano bit at the end of Split End.
That's beautiful.
Because all the bodies are revealed on the beach.
Let's start the show with mangled corpses. Well done, Richard.
Have Dave Dobbins for the court scenes.
Yeah, but the criminals are not going to sound like the guys are Goodfellas. It's going to be a lot more. Oh, was it, dear officer? How come?
Who are these people?
I've been parked here for close to an hour or a year.
You're racist.
30 seconds.
You're racist, man.
Let's get this program started, shall we? It's in a mess on the floor. We haven't even got going. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M with your top heavy host, Tony Martin. Oh, it's better. Look, it's Richard Marsland. Pushing the buttons. Push one for Ed Cavalier.
He's on.
Sorry, I'll just have to zip up.
He's on high beam this morning, Ed.
Yeah. It's good that we're all boobed up because, you know, we're hitting the media trail heavy. Firstly, we've got to Ed Cavalier on, I think, some of the breakfast shows this morning. Spooking his basketball coaching skills.
Melbourne breakfast show, The Cage, this morning on Triple M.
Yeah.
A little bit of a crack at Bridge for her lack of skills. We've been winning since she's been away.
Right.
The game is tonight, and my team is Cougar Heavy.
Laden with milk. That's what I've heard.
It is. Anyway.
All right. So you're out there.
I'll be wearing the good tracksuit pants.
Hawking your wares.
Yep.
I guess get the bite of that action.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I stream at them Rick Hunt style. If someone gets in a basket,
that was dizzy stuff. Beautiful. That was dizzy stuff.
Meanwhile, Richard Marsland, having been, slightly, white-handed himself, I guess, out of the Rove offices.
Shelton's boned him.
Is coming back in a big way on the morning community television.
Yeah, New York and LA is fine. I prefer community TV breakfast style.
Yeah.
Great fun.
How long do you go?
It's on for an hour every morning from 7:30.
And you go twice a week?
Yeah, it's brilliant fun with Emma Race. Kind of stuff.
Who does your hair?
Lots of I do my own hair and makeup, as a matter of fact, and that is the truth.
I don't know anyone who can pick up your Channel 31 community television. What's it actually broadcast on?
It's broadcast on the oldie analog, which is actually quite political at the moment.
Oh,
trying to get a digital license.
Because I can get it off the aerial on my roof, but not through the Foxtel.
Yeah, that's the issue.
You're not rubbing shoulders with New Zealand drunks.
No, I want to be, and
yet.
So every time someone gets a Foxtel box or a digital set-top box, then they lose the Channel 31.
Work.
It's very important for young people.
And what was the hot talking point on this morning's show?
What do we have? A bit of rug gear on the Kevin 07 shirt.
Bacon versus ham.
We had a woman in who actually is the fastest woman ever on four wheels. Who has gone minus 8G across Lake Eyre for one of those.
In a trolley.
In a skateboard.
Yeah.
And we had someone from Lonely Planet. And...
that's not sizzle. I'm sorry, this is break one of a national radio program.
That's right.
We need something hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to cross live to the offices of a top international record company.
Really?
On the other side of the world.
Yeah, well, I was on.
I know.
I was on. Teabagging holiday with Robbie Williams.
Gentlemen, I have something you need to hear. Bring it in, boys. Temperature control safe. Let me just get it open here. Okay. I have something that is going to change this corporation. Okay, here we go. Just click this up. Okay. Now, inside here, I have. Okay. I have a disc. I literally have a disc. Now, this has traveled halfway around the world under high security. Okay, there we go. This is the master recording. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the sound of the future. It's amazing. But who is it? I don't know. Not yet, I don't.
Service.
Let's get there.
Listening closely, you may hear a teabagging joke at the beginning of that sketch.
Sorry, just in the left channel. Something for the podcast. And let's get going. Let's get started. Here again, then.
What I've done, Linkin Park from the Transformers movie. Here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. And while we're talking science fiction, all this month on Get This here at Triple M, it is Borgus. Dress up as a member of the Borg from Star Trek.
Despite my appearance, I'm not actually quite sure what they look like, but there's a lot of hoses and things sticking out of
them. The idea is, because Richard said the same thing to me this morning, he didn't know exactly what they look like.
Yeah, yeah.
The Borg look like half people, half computers.
Right.
Hoses.
Yeah.
Imagine you are half man, half, you know, dishwasher.
Sure.
That's what we're talking about. But get this, we don't want you to go to any effort.
No, no, of course not. That would be too much trouble.
As the listeners suggest, stick a calculator on your arm. Put a colander on your head. Spray paint it if you've got spray paint. If not, just cover it in with a texture. That kind of thing. Just try and make yourself look half man, half computer. This is...
What?
Sorry, my brain stopped.
You just
ran out of sandwich.
Look at that. That's what can happen. This is a young, fit guy. Coach the basketball team.
Yeah,
he doesn't keep eating every 10 minutes. His brain just switches off mid-sentence
straight away.
One of his eyebrows just fell on the desk.
I missed the potato head.
Wow. Say goodbye to something. You want me to cover for you?
No, I've got it. I'm okay. There's some veggie patty in the back of my mouth I can get out of my tongue.
There we go. The results of that gastroscopy come in yet. Our listeners are waiting for your medical test.
Tomorrow we have a blood test, and if anyone would like to be there, station events. All right, how about this time? Back to Borgus.
Yeah.
Send us a photograph, triplem.com.au, of yourself dressed as half man or lady, half computer.
Yep.
Went down to promotions today, announced it to the room. No response.
Complete indifference. As typing continuing.
Yeah, and a little bit of asking a little bit of hatred through the back of their heads.
Sorry. Hamish and Andy coming in to see us today.
Yeah, because I've done my hair. All right. however,
sexual
after some tension.
Yeah, there's always a bit of sexual tension down there.
So anyway, Jade, there you are. You've been named. I said, can I please have a prize? She said no. I said, please. She said, ready, listeners?
Mm-hmm.
The prize for the winner of Borgus is a remote-controlled helicopter.
Yeah, it's got to be a catch. It's just a cardboard cutout of a helicopter, is it?
No.
On the bend of a bit of string.
Nope. It is a real remote-controlled helicopter.
Do you think people...
For the winner of Borgus.
Someone who dresses up as a Star Trek character is going to be into a remote control toy.
I thought of this. Yeah. You can play it still sitting in your living room. The helicopter flies around outside while you sit on a couch aiming the remote out the window.
So you can have one hand on the chat forum.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
One hand on the Voyager DVD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out the window. I'm the coolest man I know.
Yeah.
You can tie a cat to it.
No, you cannot.
That would, no.
Well,
no. Why would you do that?
Well, I just thought because you're a cat fan.
Yeah, well, why would a cat want to...
It'd be cute,
a ride, but
yeah.
It could be quite... No, don't do that. Speaking of half creature, half machine, what is that clip you're showing me on YouTube? The cat with the fork for a hand.
Yeah, yeah, the puss cat.
Mm.
It's dinner rich by
a fork.
Eh?
Yeah, but how is the fork attached to the
holds
fork?
It with its fork.
He holds it. What, does he got... The fingers are too small to grip onto a fork, I would have thought.
How do you know?
Because I've seen cats, the paws are tiny.
I've seen cats.
Each one is like a tiny bit of a corn cob.
Yeah, they claw.
She claws it and grip as he uses chopsticks.
A fork is heavy.
Ridiculous. Fork is really heavy.
It's a plastic fork.
It's sellotaped on.
It's not.
The woman's used a staple gun.
It's not a staple gun.
It's not funny home videos. There's no disclaimers on YouTube.
Listen, it's, and hopefully the cat wants to meet Oprah Winfrey, so here's hoping.
Check that out. And speaking of, when we talk half human, half machine, we talk Carl Stefanovic.
Oh, yes.
Now, here's how ingenious the Get This listeners are.
Mm.
As you know, Wikipedia have blocked any robot amendments to Carl's page. Mm. You try and make a change to Carl's page, up comes a warning. If it's got anything to do with robots,
you're out.
We're not going to add it.
Proving once and for all that Wikipedia has no interest in truth.
So what have the listeners done?
What have they done?
We can't get onto Carl Stefanovic's page.
No, no, no.
But we can get onto the page of any robot. So if you go to C-3PO's page, you'll now see a picture of Carl Stefanovic. Genius!
The other good thing about that is it's fine for those tiny amount of people that listen to this show. I know that we talk about that. But for the literally billions of people who know who C-3PO is, they're clicking on there going, gee, cool, blimey, have you seen this? Apparently C-3PO's a bloke doing breakfast telly in Australia. Well, his career's gone downhill, isn't it? Pass me that stack of chimneys, would you?
Stack of chimneys. All right. Let's all have a stack of chimneys. And what about Warwick Kappa? What's he done now? We'll find out next. Get this on Triple M. One of our listeners, David Rowe, or possibly Rao, requests we play the version of that song where you hear the director giving advice to the auto cue man.
Mm-hmm.
He's waving his hand like an air traffic controller in trouble, saying, don't speak to me for 30 seconds, I'm eating.
It really does go on.
We have doctors on the case list, as I apologise.
What are we talking about?
Now, Richard Mars is having a coughing fit.
Yeah.
So you're showing your card.
It's like a leper collar there. You're having that camera done while we're talking as well, which is very unsettling.
New pilot I'm working on. What are we doing? Well, firstly, let me just say that the Simple Minds sketch, we have replayed it a couple of times. We can't put it on the podcast.
But as yet, we don't own the rights to Simple Minds' music.
No,
as yet.
But you never know.
The court
case is still pending.
Everything
could turn around. We are brought to you by the Nissan Navara, that's for sure. The 4x4 with the rugged good looks, massive pulling power, insane amount of storage space. 4 beverage holders.
Woo.
Attack the weekend the same way you attack the workday.
Yes.
You're out there with the kids, you're having some sort of picnic. Oh, I've suddenly got to move a whole lot of pipe. No problem. I can do it in this vehicle.
Yeah, good.
The Nissan Navara.
Good.
You know, we were just saying before, oh, look, only a few people would be able to know what that Carl Stefanovic robot business on Wikipedia is about because, you know, a lot of people don't listen to this show.
Not yet.
Are things catching on? Things are catching on. Already we've seen people using the phrase, this is busy stuff.
It's true.
In
internet competitions at crikey.com.
Which have nothing to do with this show.
Nothing to do with us.
So what's going on in the workplace? John Jenkins said a while ago, colleague of mine went out to get his morning snack. I said, can you get me something as well? When he came back, he had one of those little white paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
He slaps it on my desk and goes, Dad, you Flavio. Remember what that was?
That was the guy that runs the Grand Prix.
The Formula One.
He's 70-something years old.
Flavio Briatore.
Yeah, yes, but he thinks that underwear is a velvet sack
for his gear. And he will just wear that everywhere, to a restaurant, to a funeral,
to an opening,
while dating Heidi Klum.
Fantastic.
Just getting around in the what we call the Flavio bag.
Bow tie and Flavio bag.
Over a year ago, I don't even remember that.
Wow.
People are saying, here's your Flavio in the workplace.
Not something you want for lunch, though, really.
Imagine my mental anguish and repulsion when I opened it to find two mini steamed Dim Sims.
That hurts.
I ate them anyway, which proves that even the most disgusting mental picture is not enough to put you off some delicious dimmies.
Fair enough.
And true it is. Speaking of the Flavio bag and content, can people please stop alerting us to this new special that's coming up on the CI channel? I know it's our favourite network on Foxtel, the Crime Investigation Network. Last month, I think they gave us, okay, I'm about to say something fruity, here it comes. I can't stop masturbating. That was the name of a special that went round and round. Yeah. What was so funny about that was that the announcer had to say it every time.
Absolutely.
Now they're giving us Make Me a Eunuch.
Tomorrow night.
Thank you, Dave O'Brien, for alerting us to, yes, a new special called Make Me a Eunuch.
All be blown! Sensitively, as always, by this program.
I don't understand why that's on the Crime Channel.
Well, because you're not allowed to.
Oh, okay, but the person is demanding.
I can't, Tone, even if you say, Ed, lock these off, station promotion, we'll do it at Telstra Stadium, it'll be amazing. I can't do it.
Technically illegal, is it?
Yeah.
Is it illegal?
You can't cut it off with someone else.
You sure?
You've got to cut it off yourself.
It is getting close.
Mail it to someone.
People are going to be eating quite a bit.
Mail them in.
Let's win everybody back with some fine music, shall we? Mm-hmm. The other day we were playing this track on air. What's known as production music for behind radio commercials, TV commercials, travel documentaries, generic music. I said it was called Water Sports. I couldn't tell you what album it was from. It was from one of the classic KPM series. Michael Kay has emailed in to say you can find that track on KPM 1092 Music Pictorial. Recorded in 1972. Those were the city stardust,
Halcyon Days,
Led Zeppelin, and this. Never know what will play next to Triple M. That's the album you need if you're looking for water sports. All right. Speaking of great music, Warwick Kappa, the DJ at Geelong Club, as his porn film takes off. That's a great headline on the internet this morning. What do we know? He's running for mayor.
Oh, the Gold Coast, yes.
Think that'd be a full-time job?
No.
Leaping off cupboards, in the nick, onto
the caboodle,
which is on the workbench, as he calls it.
Absolutely right.
The bed.
Yes.
1 hour and 9 minutes of solid homegrown porn.
Lots of zooming in and zooming out.
That's right. $1 million. But he's handling the camera himself while taking part in it. All right. What's he doing now?
How do you launch a thing like that?
Well, he's on tour, DJ. Oh. I don't know. He says the X-rated film was probably the most out-of-this thing I've done in a while.
Been a while.
I got good endurance, I'm an athlete. He said, but my favourite quote is he's talking about his DJ playlist. Oh, hang on. In regards to his mayoralty campaign.
Bobby,
out there shaking hands, kissing baby.
Shaking hands and kissing babies.
Got to do that.
Giving out copies of the film.
He says his DJ playlist will include favourites and lookalikes, Whitesnake and Van Halen, and you too. Listen to this quote.
I like a bit of everything. Anything that's pretty loud, pretty heavy, and not too homosexual.
Whoa. So if you like your music, not too heavy, not too loud, and not too homosexual. Pop along to the cap and get.
Is Bros getting under that radar, or have they crossed the line somewhere? Look, they're a lookalike, but maybe they're too homosexual. A
couple of young newcomers, call Bros.
Love you have the chat.
What did you say, Rich?
A couple of young newcomers, call Bros. And what do they think?
Yeah, see, people are telling us we've got to get all these Kappa lines, put him up on the Get This website as a, what do you call it?
Soundboard.
Soundboard, like a Dickinson soundboard,
right?
Dickinson soundboard's gone south.
Oh,
we made the move. The migrate, as they say around here, to the new website. Investigation's pending. We will try and get a Warwick Kappa soundboard so that people can create their own campaign.
Coming up next, I've got a bunch of phone topics which I know people are going to love.
There's your sizzle, listeners.
An auntie of something says, "Boys, what's the mold going to see?"
Triple M in your Brisbane, your Melbourne, your Sydney, and your Adelaide. Good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, there's a new podcast going up today, 113. At some point, can't tell you what's in it at this stage. But
safe to say, Shadow fans will be left disappointed.
Nothing.
Disappointed.
There's plenty of Shadow in what is proving to be our podcast of the year, 110, largely thanks to Mr. Marvin's efforts with the Kappa gear.
Oh, that's rich.
There's some great Netto in there, and some great drunk New Zealanders. But look, let's get on with the show. I know, Ed, you're experiencing a bit of classic kudos in the sports world at the moment with your basketball coaching, really turning around the image of this program as a bastion of nerds.
Yeah. Hi. Yes, and my team is full of cougars, as we know.
Sure.
Milks, if you will, and I told a couple of them that basketball training's down on a pier at midnight, and I've got some candles and some dinner, and this is my song where I have to win them over with.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4.
People really, well, I don't want to suggest there's a groundswell yet for Borgust, people dressing up as the Borg from Star Trek. I think this is, it's not April.
You know what I think we're going to have to do? We'll have to put a reference photograph up on the website, triplem.com.au. I shall endeavour to have that up this week, and then you can start sending in your pithy attempts to win the, that's right, listeners, remote control helicopter.
Yeah, are you going to put up that picture of Richard Marston that people are meant to download, tattoo onto their own buttocks, and then try and get their ass into the booty bank?
It's going up as we speak.
I hope so. A lot of people calling in about other month ideas because we were mentioning the show. I want to be a uni. Going out on the Crime Investigation Network, I think tomorrow night. James likes the sound of that. He says we should celebrate the month of November.
Oh,
not at all.
That's very good.
I mean, I like the joke. I just don't want to celebrate the month.
No, neither do I. How would you celebrate it?
Well, who's the patron? I mean, I'll put my hand out, but that's a big commitment to make.
Yeah.
For the radio show.
Maybe not. You were supposed to have a baby between now and November.
That's true.
I mean, I had a go. You have to learn quickly to beat our producer, Nicky. He's well ahead of you. Let's get climbing, shall we? Up, talk, back, mountain. We like to talk about movie characters on this show. You know, movie stars and actors are fine, but what about the characters they play? Haven't there been some beauties over the years? Look at this list. This is in one of the recent issues of Entertainment Weekly. The 5 most awesomely preppy 80s movie villains.
Jeez.
Who's the winner there?
Oh, that's the guy in, what about Animal House?
Yeah, no. That's 70s.
The one from,
Tommy of Needlemite.
Needlemite.
Bachelor Party. The bad guy in Bachelor Party.
Oh.
The guy that they think he should marry.
No, that doesn't make the list. Number one, James Spader in Pretty in Pink.
Mm.
No. You have a white suit. I think you might add a white suit in that. Isn't that perfect?
What about the bad guy in Karate Kid 2?
Yeah,
Karate Kid 1, sorry.
Correct, comes in second.
Johnny.
William Zabka. Didn't even know that bloke's name.
The guy in Pretty in Pink.
But that was number one.
Yeah.
Did you just say,
is that what you were talking about?
They have another sandwich. That was number one.
Yeah.
James Spade. Well, you've chosen 1 and 2. Well, the number 3, Ted McGinley in Revenge of the Nerds.
Ted McGinley in anything.
Sure. Yeah. I love Fred McGinley. What about Craig Sheffer in Some Kind of Wonderful?
Oh, yes.
It's raping now. Aaron Dozier in Better Off Dead.
Okay. He wasn't that preppy. The John Cusack.
My favourite 80s movie villain would have to be William Atherton. William Atherton. What, people don't know that name?
Ooh.
You do know the face. He appeared in 2 movies.
Was he in Caddyshack?
No, the bad guy in Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes. Oh,
right. The environmental protection agency.
Yeah.
One they call Dickless. And then, like a couple of years later, the guy in Die Hard. Not Alan Rickman. Not the coked up guy with the beard. The sleazy reporter guy.
Yeah.
That gets punched out by John McClane's method.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
you know, he showed up in the second one.
No, I'm with you. Yes.
How hateable was he?
Yeah,
that's one of the great movie villains.
He's only done two movies ever.
I'm sure he's beat it up, but they're the only two people remember.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, Die Hard.
Okay. He's a good movie.
These are great movie characters. Mm-hmm. We've got one in town at the moment, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich is in town. She's a fictional character from the movie. She's burst to life and is, I don't know, solving a case or something.
In a suit that someone has to wear.
Well, according to Julia Roberts, she was invisible because she wasn't even thanked in her Academy Award acceptance speech. Remember that?
Yeah.
Whose life was
based on smarting about that
real smart
Greece. Yeah, cut me deep.
Fight the
power, man. So, yeah, no, she's... this is great. Someone sent her a letter saying, can you give us a hand? We're suing the aluminium giant Alcoa.
Yeah.
So she's come over to lend her expertise. So this is a David and Goliath battle, just like the movie, right here in Australia.
Mm.
She can't go to the actual place where the problem is, though, because she's got allergies.
Fair enough.
But we'll do it from a few thousand miles away.
That's okay. Phone it in.
Erin Brockovich.
Alcoa.
So what are you saying?
The evil terrorist organisation, Alcoa.
So what are we talking about, Rich?
Movie characters for the rescue. Even though she's real.
Okay, so what other movie characters would you like to see come out to Australia to just help us out with stuff?
Okay.
Give us an example here.
The other basketball team, the Weaponettes. I am Emilio Estevez from the Mighty Ducks, taking them from tears to effing glory, as Chopper would say.
Sure.
But I need an opposite number. I need a bad guy coach from an opposite team.
Ted McGinley. William Atherton.
William Atherton.
James Spader.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the Robert Duvall in Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues.
Rodney Dangerfield from Lady Birds. Lady Bugs.
What about Robert Duvall from The Great Santini?
Either way, yeah, absolutely right. I need a tough, gruff, you know, tough as nails opposition coach.
Brian Dennehy, surely.
That's a good idea for me to butt heads with.
What about Paul Newman in Slapshot?
Great idea.
Great idea.
Paul Newman in Slapshot. This is what I need.
Then I could play the Hanson Brothers.
Apollo 3. I need an Apollo 3.
Sure you do. All right, well, that's okay. There's some movie characters to help Ed with his sporting career.
Mm.
I'm thinking I'd just like to see Fred Willard's character from Best in Show,
the commentator,
dog show announcer, just come out and be on Dancing with the Stars. Then I'd cheer
in. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Sonia, whatever her name is, just saying it went for her like she was made out of ham. He's a great movie character.
Yep.
Mr. Marvel.
Okay, I'd like someone to come in and give this show direction. Give it the Jungford needs. Help us out with some of the comedy.
Mm.
And that's why I like Bruno Kirby's character in Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, there's a sort of buttoned up, tight art station manager.
Yes.
Some great lines there.
Funny is good. Funny is good. But do it by using antics and humour, not police action and coffee remarks.
Paul Giamatti from Private Parts. He might be able to help us out as well.
Another great movie character. What about, I think at the moment it feels to me like the person who is cracking the whip on this show is Ralph Brown in With Null and I. Be seated. It will pass.
Especially a hippie drug dealer, for those who haven't seen it.
He was showed up on
Wayne's World.
Life on Mars recently.
Did he? Totally unrecognisable.
Really?
The bloke with the moustache.
Yeah.
The bloke with the moustache from Life on Mars.
Another great character.
I know the listeners are going, hey, he's got it. I've got it now.
You know what, TV movie characters? Erin Brockovich is here. Why can't they all come out? Which movie characters would you like to see here in Australia helping us out with something? 133353. Cold Hard Beach. Thank you very much, Jet. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Erin Brockovich is in town. She's a fictional movie character. I'm sure she doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
What other fictional movie characters do we want out here giving us a hand with something? That's our premise today on Talkback Mouth.
Amazingly, people call.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad.
Firstly, thank you very much for decoding our insane premise.
It's a Marsland special.
And who have you got for us?
Kevin Kline as Dave.
Oh, President.
Yes.
In
Johnny Howard.
Oh, this is an album you like from a genius production, wasn't it?
Yeah, he looked like the president.
Oh, so there were two Kevin Kleins?
Look, how many Kevin Kleins? There's probably 10 Kevin Kleins.
Oh, Jason, you're onto something there.
Right.
Yeah. He was everywhere.
So if we could get someone who looks like John Howard, we could maybe do a dart. Is there someone we know who looks like John Howard, but it's sort of sexier and more, you know, youth-friendly?
Was it you who said he looked like the dad from Alf? Or maybe, no, the dad from Mork and Mindy. Is that the one that you thought he looked like?
I don't Do they fit under the category of sexy? I've seen photos of the dad from Alpen and Cracked In.
Oh, yeah.
That's maybe a good look for
that's a great look for him. Okay, thank you, Jason.
Deborah Conway is yelling something to us.
Well, oh, here we go.
Kevin Rudd, there you go.
Of course.
Top of his head.
He's John
Howard 2.0. That's who he is.
Hello, Alec. How are you, sir?
Good, guys. How are you going?
Excellent. Who would you like to see out here?
I'm not sure of the actor's name, but he plays the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Edward Rooney.
Oh. what would you do, boys, out here?
Give the principals of the schools around here to get a hold on their kids.
Yeah.
Got to teach them a lesson or two.
Child obesity, family. Take care of it all.
And I remember, Alex, that he breaks into students' houses that are truant, doesn't he?
That's right. That he even goes out on the streets looking for them.
Not a bad plan.
He's a truant officer. You can't beat it.
There you go. Thank you, Alex.
I don't think Jeffrey Jones is available. A few legal troubles, but he's still getting work in Deadwood.
He's the newspaper publisher in Deadwood these days. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how you going?
Good, mate. Who would you like to see out here?
I'd like to see the Ghostbuster with the glasses, because he looks exactly like you, Tony.
What are you thinking, Jeff? What's Harold Ramis and his ectoplasm going to do?
He could probably act as Tony's stunt double for those Lavender newspaper interviews.
My newspaper interview is coming across as Ed Lavender. Okay. So we're going to get Dr. Egon Spengler
to fill him for me.
Good idea, Jeff.
He was seen recently and knocked up.
He was.
He played Seth Rogen's dad.
Yes, he did.
Banging up shots. Thank you, Jeff. G'day, Scott.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. A bit of an excuse. I'm not sure of the guy's name, but he played Rudy in the movie Hot Dog the Movie. He's the Austrian ski guy. I reckon he'd be a great opposite coach because you can give him the old, you can kiss me, you know, we're not on this side, not at that side, but right in the middle.
What Hot Dogs was, and suddenly it's come back to me. That was the one where it's like a ski race at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And he's a bad Austrian bloke who's pinches misses all the time.
Yeah, and he's got the really big Carrera reflective sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. That's right, all in black.
That's it, and the shock of white hair. And I remember in that movie for some reason that all of the men wore, you know, appropriate ski attire, but all the women wore bikinis and skis.
Yeah, it was always sunny.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me how it's easier to remember that obscure film called Hot Dogs than it is to remember Hot Dogs from Big Brother.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's like years ago, doesn't it?
Who else do we need? I think we've got time for one more. Hello there, Mark. How are you, sir?
Good, how are you guys?
Excellent, man. Who do we need out here?
A Walter Solcheck from the Big Lebowski.
Oh!
What are we want him doing when he's out here, though?
Getting people toes. I meet people all the time and need a toe.
People want toes.
Or we could whip up some ringers out of bags full of dirty undies.
Oh, this is sensational.
This is great stuff.
And also he knows how to do the cheapest funerals in town.
He does.
Just gets a coffee cup and puts your ashes in it and throws it out of the ocean while talking about Vietnam for no reason.
That's right. And throwing it all over your best friend's face.
What an amazing emporium.
Everybody wins.
What a great cast. What a great bunch of movie recommendations from the listeners. Thanks to everyone who took part.
Good to hear Hot Dogs being discussed. 21 years after its release.
On a national forum.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have some in the next hour. We're going to be joined by, a grown-up is here.
Real-life,
actual person.
Fantastic.
Who's going to talk some sense to us about music. That's going to be Deborah Conway.
Chroming and drinking alcohol.
We've just lost Adelaide for this hour, I should let you know, so this isn't going.
Yeah.
so we can be mean about them.
Well, you were telling us an interesting fact about Adelaide. What were you saying about it?
Oh, I was telling the boys here, ladies and gentlemen, I think the rest of the Muslim population, that the only times that I've ever been flashback were in fact in Adelaide, and I've been flashback twice.
Wow.
I'm not sure what you make of that.
And was it that you, was it Hey Deborah checked you out, or was it just
I think we're on public transport. I did recall when I was touring with Dorothy that Adelaide and somewhere in Saudi Arabia were the only two places that ships didn't take on water, and that was easy to figure out once you turn the tap on. But the water has definitely improved since then.
Yes, they've got the new clear formula.
Maybe that's enough of being nasty about it. Do you think they need more booting than
this? Yeah.
Not me, ladies and gentlemen. Not me.
No, we love Adelaide.
We want Adelaide to come to Broad. That's what we want. As well as Melbourne, Canberra, Sydney, Darwin, and Perth. You can see on the everywhere.
Wow, you're getting around. Yeah. And obviously flashing opportunities in all of those places. We'd like you to just pop down to our level for an hour, if you wouldn't mind. Deborah, we're going to talk about great rock venues. Great rock venues in the past that don't exist anymore. And the antics that went on inside them.
Yep.
I'll talk to you about that.
All right, let's get started here. Get this. Please, for the ball, she's here with us. Do you think of hearing your own songs on the radio these days?
No, I'm not actually. No, play it again.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Anything to keep the Toto at bay. Look at this poster for Broad. Now, is this the third year of Broad?
This is Broad Mark III. That's right. We started in 2005 with a very small run-up here, you have to say. Came up with the idea in July and had the thing on stage in December.
Well, for people who don't know, what is the idea?
Okay, so the idea is that I've invited four other female singer-songwriters to join me, hence the name Broad, but not just the reference to the fond, affectionate American slang term for women, but also a reference to the fact that we all come from extremely different musical styles. So in this photo that you're looking at, you've got Anne McHugh on the left-hand side. She's from Nashville, although she is a Campbellfield girl.
Sure.
And it doesn't actually look anything like that photo, I have to say. It's a bit altered. But anyway,
done by the people of Zoo magazine, did you?
I'm not sure for the better. Look, don't ask me. It's a long story. Anyway, but she counts as Lucinda Williams one of her great fans. She writes songs a bit like Tom Petty. She plays guitar like Jimi Hendrix. She's an awesome musician. She's an incredible singer. And she's going to be a wonderful addition to this lineup. Sally Seltman's the next one along. She's a Melbourne girl. She makes contemporary urban pop music. She's, multi-layered, and she's New Buffalo.
Yeah, New Buffalo. Gorgeous voice.
Yeah, gorgeous voice. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, delicate, subtle, and just, exultant, wouldn't you say? What do you think?
Yep.
When you get to the first song,
they're very uplifting. Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah, and really gorgeous.
And me, the cigar.
Good look.
It's not lit, Tony.
No.
But it is a reference to my producerdom, because I'm the producer of the
song. Kingpin.
That's right.
And Jade McRae.
Jade McRae, who's next along, is firmly in the R&B style camp. She's an awesome singer. She writes great songs. She's a violin player. Who knew? I believe she's going to.
Fantastic. Oh, really?
I'm excited.
If she's looking for any pointers, just tell her to get the episodes of Cat and Kim that I'm in. Yes, absolutely. Violin work.
And then Abby May.
And Abby May's a newcomer. She's hailed from WA. She just won WA Best Female Performer of the Year. And she has a voice like Katie Lang, but, siphoned through it, new role of whiskey, and kind of seen from the 1930s with this really fantastic humour and a voice, except she's a bit punky, punk rock.
There you go.
What a great combo.
That is an amazing lineup. What a great night. But you say voice like Katie Lang. Yeah. What about someone with a face like Katie Lang? Have a look at that bloke. Have a look at them. There's Katie Lang right there.
Katie Lang,
yeah. I think
you're actually right.
Yeah, I've got to touch the KDs about me.
It's the best look-alike we've found yet for Heath Haviland.
You've got that look with the slightly downcast eye with a glint.
Oh, yeah, I'm up to something.
Hey, now, so how does it go backstage here? I mean, who goes on first? How do you say you're the producer. How do you work out the part?
Well, we're all on stage together. So it's not like any other
country.
We're all on stage together. We've all nominated three of the songs that we're going to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's four songs that we all do together, which are cover songs.
Finger Boys?
Finger Boys, yeah. Oh, how did you know? Oh, my God. Actually, that's the song that we do with the Nude Mudslides.
Oh, man.
At the end.
What a concert.
Oh, my God. You've discovered everything.
I know it's broad, but and so there's not any men on stage. But if a man was, say, to dress in drag, could he do a cameo?
Yeah, it's funny that you should mention that, Tony.
Yes, why?
Because that has been discussed.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact. Yes, there were rumbles.
Rumbles.
You were rumbled, yes.
Well, what about, forget Katie Lang there, what about this bloke over here?
He's a good drag actor.
This, yep. All over it.
Really?
Yeah. You want
to
hear this?
Just
put those headphones on for a second if you wouldn't mind, Deborah. I asked it to deliver and I should warn you.
Drop
on the broad lineup.
I'm just trying to get it away from my ears.
All right, let's cleanse ourselves of that. That's great. And where and when can you see Broad? Brisbane, attention, August the 17th.
Yeah.
At the Q-Pack. Sydney, August 19th. At the Opera House, I'll have you know.
How's that?
Melbourne, August 23-24 at the Athenaeum. Yeah, the classy venue.
I know. Come and check out the website, everybody. www.broadfestival.com and you can check out all these other women. I mean, it is a concert like no other because it's really fantastic busting down the genres. You know, like you're actually seeing a proper true variety show where the country act sings all over the urban R&B thing, where the punk rocker is happy to sing all the delicate contemporary Melbourne.
Wow.
You know, it's beautiful. And everyone feels warm and cozy by the end of the night. We're all holding hands. It's nice. And we're not just trying to impress the audience. We're trying to impress each other.
Well, that is great. That has everything.
Yeah.
But, you know...
And there's a band as well. There is some testosterone on stage.
There's something for everybody.
Not just estrogen, you know.
Rope tricks, balloon animals, it's all coming out. But what about your obscure movie credit, Deborah? Let's get to it next. Phil and Charlotte, that's Dance Floor Anthem here at Get This on Triple M. Deborah Conway is about to hit the road with Broad. Broad 3 coming to your town. What a top night that's going to be. Mm. Last time I saw you, I think, was at Hesse's Shed.
It's a long time ago.
Paul Hester, our good friend, and, you know, what a great series that was. Why is
fun.
It?
I remember I was sitting here in my arms and I had Alma, which was my second-born child, in my arms, suckling at the time of the sound check.
Whereas I think I brought out the guys from Puppetry of the Penis. So, it's a roundabout classy old night.
It was.
Funny watching, they seem to be doing one of those classic album style series now in Australia. See that on FBS?
My brother-in-law.
Oh, really?
How about that?
Making that?
The whole world is interconnected. Yes, Larry Milton, my brother-in-law, is the producer.
I love it. I love any show where someone sits down at a mixing desk and gets a great bit of music and then pulls down a whole lot of the faders and just lets you hear one bit, like just the guitarist for a minute.
It's going nuts.
My favourite film clips are the ones where we're in the studio watching them make the song, the one for Give Me a Man After Midnight by ABBA. Just saw Benny twiddling knobs and nodding for the singers.
It's working, really working.
But they did one on Crowded House and there was some great Hesse footage there.
That was Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's right. I was coming back from Darwin in red eye. Badly.
Excellent
to see. But yeah, I know it's going to be supposed to be fantastic, and as soon as I can release the copy on my brother-in-law, I will sit.
Now, during the song, you said to me, you know, Ed seems to know a bit about music. Is he musical himself?
Yes, I did ask that. Question I sense is about to be answered.
I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to ask you to put the headphones on again.
Oh, no.
You may regret it, I warn you. Okay, hit us, Mr. Marsland.
I think you guys should get a band together.
Yeah, well, that's
and then drive it off a cliff.
That's from a segment we do called Keith Urban Lyrics or Children's Poetry. So that's what that's about.
Hey, Tim, I'll tell you where else I saw you. A movie years ago, I saw. Look, I have to be honest with you. I didn't understand a word of it. Prospero's Waltz,
yeah.
Peter Greenaway sort of Shakespeare, I don't know, mashup.
Yes.
And there
that's
we
nice.
Do.
That's a nice description.
Well, it was all, I don't know, it was like watching a website that did Shakespeare for an hour.
That's cool.
There was John Gielgud.
John Gielgud had all the lines.
Yeah, that's right.
He just spoke every line.
Everyone's part.
That's right. So no one could understand what anything that you ever knew about Shakespeare or The Tempest was completely lost.
How did you get into that?
In the great, how did I get, yeah. Good question. Well,
no,
I, no, that's right. I slept. No, I didn't. I was a good friend of Michael Nyman, who was the composer.
Oh, yeah.
And has a long time associate and composer of Peter Greenaway. Although I believe that their association ended abruptly after that. Anyway, I digress. So Michael Nyman rang me up and said, hey, what are you up to? Any legs? It's just skipped out of the role of Juno, and I need a quick replacement. You want to do it?
Right.
So I said, oh, sure, okay. So, I mean, you know, we'd just met, and I hadn't really even heard him sing. It was quite brave of him. So I trotted off down to Abbey Road and sang it with the London Symphony Orchestra.
And you tell me you're the only person in that movie that kept their clothes on.
Pretty much. There was a couple of us, but there weren't many. We were definitely in the minority. I have to say about that film, I in fact didn't prep his whole oeuvre of work, really, about Peter Greenaway, so much nudity, so little sex.
That's right.
I think that can really sum it up.
He drives me nuts, that Peter Greenaway. Really? Yeah. What I always remember is, I've talked about this before, Drowning by Numbers. It's an art movie when numbers appear, just hidden in the background. There'll just be a number 12 just hidden in a vase somewhere.
Right.
It becomes like watching Where's Wally.
He has these strange obsessions, the left and right thing, belly and architect. Or was it? No, wasn't that one?
Yeah, I remember the one with the Z and two
doors. That's the one.
They gave you like a piece of paper that explained the film as you were leaving it. Something like that with Half Past Dead.
Grafton's contract was looking really straightforward. That was Walk in the Park.
These are your fancy art house movies, Deborah. What about your early work on the Australian screen? Were you in Running on Empty?
I stand accused!
What was that? It was a car chase film, wasn't it?
Look, I'm telling you, I was at that premiere and they wolf whistled. Not at the shower scene, but at the cars.
Yeah. We had someone call up this show. You remember the guy called up and we were talking about mistakes in movies? The guy goes, in Running on Empty, they say it's a V8, but if you listen to the sound effects, it's clearly not. So the car was overdubbed.
Yeah. You know, I occasionally do get people coming up to me and go, wow, you're in favourite movie of all time. I think, oh, gee, you've had a really kind of sheltered life or something. I look at them and go, that makes sense.
And they show you their Prosperous Brooks tattoo on their arm.
That's the one.
All right, just as well, we don't have time to get to our own efforts in that regard, Deborah, we have to move on back to rock music.
Oh,
great.
Oh, good. I feel slightly safer on. Go on.
Venue Fantastics.
Okay.
Let's talk about that next.
Music, color, movement, sequence, dancing.
Triple M. Deborah Conway is with us, and we've just discovered she's a fan of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You've never seen Larry David, get yourselves a copy.
Yeah, it's just a documentary of my life most of the time. I hear that music coming in so many situations.
But it's interesting because I never really liked Seinfeld. I wasn't a Seinfeld fan at all. They were just, people talking loudly at each other. It wasn't sort of that funny for me. I mean, maybe my life is a bit like Seinfeld anyway. I didn't find that amusing. But Larry David,
Who was George Santa,
is hilarious.
Yes, he certainly is.
Hilarious.
And the new series on the way. Stay tuned for that at 2:30 in the morning, Mondays on Channel 9.
We'll be up for that
3 years from now. Fantastic. But we're here to talk about great rock venues and stuff that happened in them. Now, what is your favourite doesn't exist anymore rock venue tip?
It would have to be Bananas.
Bananas.
You don't remember Bananas?
No.
Bananas, well, the whole building doesn't exist anymore. It's now the Novotel. It used to be
in Melbourne.
Melbourne,
yes.
on the Esplanade with Novotel. So, you know, next to the Esplanade Hotel, there is now an enormous hotel called the Novotel.
It's great, isn't it?
So attractive. Yeah. And, but it used to be, also not that attractive, but it used to be the St. Moritz ice skating rink.
They're
all too young.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, climb up here on my knee and I'll let me tell you all about it.
Right. They're too young and I'm too foreign.
Anyway, so I used to do this ice skating rink, which I used to go to when I was 14 and skated every weekend. So I'm pretty sure it was open all through summer too. Anyway, so on one side it was an ice skating rink, on the other side it was a venue called Bananas and it was run by Joe Gualtieri,
right,
who ran also Bombay Rock.
The Bombay Rock.
Bombay Rock.
For the day.
Which I didn't play the Bombay Rock. Oh, probably, maybe I did play it once, but not as vivid to me as the memory that I have of playing with a band that I was in called the Benders. And also Darren played the Bananas. And we seemed to always be starting, I think, at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
It was a savage. Really?
And who else? Like, what were your contemporaries at that time? Who would you be coming
from? Oh, there'd be, you know, the models would be around. That would have been, let me see. Wasn't that guy that said that wacky dancing?
Well, that's a lot of candidates there.
Oh, there are. They're all on Countdown. We have some callers ring in and tell me.
Who was the guy who did the wacky dance?
Oh, come on. You know the guy. He had curly hair and it was always parted on one side. It was the haircut.
Oh, God. What are we talking about?
It started with an M. I'm sure it started with an M.
Oh, man,
anyway, they were definitely there.
Okay, here we go. The Machinations.
Right.
That guy's name was...
And it would have been Uncanny X-Men. Would have been.
Yeah, okay. That
it would have been...
Dynamic Hypnotics.
Yeah, they would have been there. And also, you know, Brian Canis, Pseudo Echo.
Brian Canham. Pseudo Echo, later of Brill.
So all of that era, yeah. We would have all been playing there. And Joe, you know, would have been walking around going, everybody happy?
Yeah, everybody's happy.
You know, so
great rock venue. Bananas in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go up the other end of the country. Ed's from Brisbane.
I'm going to talk Sydney though, Tone.
Yes, that's all right. Because when I lived in Sydney, a friend of mine's dad, he would drop us off in a Bondi Junction once. And there's a Woolworths, which is sort of downstairs in one of the shops.
Oh, yes.
In the carousel. And whenever he drops us off in Bondi Junction, he goes, have fun at the Woolies, kids. I've had some time there. And one day I asked him, and he showed me a scar on his head. And he said that it used to be a music venue. And one night he saw AC/DC playing there. When they were first starting out, and Angus Young was drunk, and oh, maybe not drunk, allegedly, and nude on stage, and he was definitely nude, and he kicked a beer bottle, hit this guy in the head. That's where he got the scar.
Wow, that guy that he kicked in the head was your dad?
No, a friend of mine's dad. Yeah. I don't know who my dad is.
Do you think that story's true?
Gosh.
It wasn't just Machinations of Bananas.
No, it's just our daddy hasn't promoted it.
Maybe. But it was a venue. But Woolworths in Bondi Junction used to be a music venue.
Well, I'm sure Richard Marsden could take us around Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
From Adelaide. And the Tivoli. The famous Tivoli in Adelaide, which I believe was owned by Dave Graney's wife's family.
Oh, okay.
There we go, Claire Moore's family.
We might get that confirmed.
I think it's closed down now. Allegedly. Yeah, I saw Dara O'Neill there and a bit of a flashing incident. But I think it's...
I've never seen you before.
And I had to go and record an interview for my community radio show with the team from Magic Dirt. Fantastic.
Oh,
the backstage area of Tivoli. Never been backstage there before. Mm-hmm. It's basically... You know, a broom cupboard, and recorded this fantastic interview. Great gold, never get that again. Walk on the way home, didn't really tape properly. The lead was in the wrong thing.
Oh,
yeah. I had to go back and
present you with them.
Yeah.
Do all the voices yourselves.
I got Warwick Capper to do it.
No.
But they were lovely. I just said, look, I don't know how to explain this, but record the whole interview properly. It was only 35 minutes of your time.
Speaking of time, I'm not going to hold us up any longer. I could have rhapsodized about the Continental in Melbourne.
Sydney
has never recovered from that.
I thought you said, what did you say? What was the introduction to this? Was it great gigs of our time?
Great rock venues that don't exist anymore.
Great rock venues. I took that as being, I don't know, there was some kind of sarcasm overlaid on it.
It's all single entendre on this program.
Sorry.
Straightforward. Straight to business. whatever you want. We will accept anything on this show, Deb, but we're not too concerned about what it's actually going to be. We just want to meet people from around the country. 1-3-3-5-3. Thank you, Dexter's Midnight Runner. Deborah Conway is with us and on tour with Broad, a show you must go and see. And she's just telling us great libelous defamatory off-air stories about behind the scenes, a great rock venue. I think the listeners have got some.
Yeah, and Tony, Deborah, welcome to our show. You've now done the official initiation, which is to mime to Richard. Please turn my headphones down.
Oh, really?
It's set to deaf radio, guys. Sorry.
I can see that you've all got your eyes on completely fully. Yeah. Thank God I have some skerrick of hearing left.
Sorry. Let's be somebody. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey, John, how are you going?
Oh, good, good.
Which venue you want to tell us about, mate?
I don't know if you remember, the Stave Store Tavern down near Central.
Yes, I do, Sydney. You know that band, John?
Yep, I saw them there. I saw just about everybody there in that area.
I'm trying to remember if I had a gig where I was just hanging out. But I think it was New Year's Eve, and I do recall that that there was a lot of substances imbibed on the night, all kinds of substances, and there was a little slightly messy beginning to that set.
That's the way we like
with,
it.
With John and Paul on stage trying to summon Ken from back. Ken not actually knowing where he was.
There you go. Hopefully that's been captured on the tape. What did you see there, John?
Well, the craziest one was Jimmy and the Boys. I don't remember those guys.
Oh,
well, the stage lights come on, and there's Jimmy wrapped in a snake outfit wrapped around the pipes hanging above the stage.
Fantastic.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, and crazier from there, it ended up a bit like a sex show. Call up people from the audience, and they were doing whatever they were asked to do on stage.
That's exactly like a sex show.
That was quite an interesting dresser, wasn't it?
Please don't make any such requests. When you go to see Broad, who's going next?
Hi, Heath.
That lady.
How are you, sir?
Not too bad. I went to the ball, used to be called the Ballroom, that was next to the Espy in St Kilda.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for being there at the Ballroom.
I was there in Midnight Oil, and I saw the Angels there, and when you used to dance up on the top floor, the level of the floor would actually bounce under your feet.
Yeah.
Remember that well until the Violent Femmes there.
That was a great
concert.
Yes, we love a structurally unsound rock venue.
You're not wrong.
Thank you, Heath. Nice talking to you.
G'day,
Michael.
Let's go to Brisbane.
G'day, Ed. How are you? Excellent. Very good to speak to you. Well, first time caller, long time listener.
Yeah, we need to hear a contribution from Brisbane. Nominate a venue for us, Michael.
Well, it's actually Heaven Nightclub in Footage.
Oh, we used to go on at the Heaven, Michael.
Yeah, actually, it used to be a dance nightclub.
I think it was. You know what? I think I've been there to a dance nightclub. In fact, it was. I did a show called Always Patsy Cline. I was. I had three very young children. It was about 6 months before I could venture out at night after the show. I was so excited just to go to bed. It was so exciting. Anyway, but the first night that I ventured out was in Brisbane, and I'm pretty sure that it was to the Heaven Nightclub.
Yeah, I think that might have been the first place I heard the mid-90s techno hit Here's Johnny. Was it Heaven Nightclub in Brisbane?
Mind-blowing was the first time you hear that one.
Amazing. Michael, when did it close up, Michael?
Well, I don't know. I think it was around 2000. I think it changed to the Healer after that, which was like a blues and roots club.
Okay.
And then I think it closed back in about 2002, 2003.
And you had some good nights at Heaven, did you?
Yeah, actually, I used to work at a community broadcasting station in Brisbane, or a temporary one, and they used to do their end of temporary transmission broadcast from there.
Not the same.
Pulse FM, I think.
Right, okay. Well, great day. I think we've got time for one more classic rock venue. Who are we going with?
Should we go to Des Johnson?
Yes. Des Johnson, will you sign in, please? You're calling in for Brisbane as well.
Yes. The place was at the National Hotel. It was called Emil's Night Space.
Yeah. Who did you see there?
We actually played. I was playing with a band called 8th Avenue and The Reels, and I'm pretty sure it was Deck Chair Overboard playing say night, and The Reels they had these films set up and they got fell from the roof and everything got out of the
street. Oh, that was a great night.
It was a very ugly night.
Fantastic. Well, Deb doesn't seem to be able to recall it.
Must have been all right.
It's not going to be mentioned in the memoir. A great night for everybody. Well,
thanks, Deb.
What a trip down memory lane.
Well, thank you, everyone. We'll have to do that again. Lots of good calls. Well,
certainly will, but more to get through. I think a bit of water cooler talk. Yes, we're still trying to create it here again. Then. I don't remember here again. This on Triple M. Deborah Conway has been sitting in for the whole hour. Do you ever get yourself into the papers with any sort of controversy or outrage or, the women's mag?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but, some highlights would have been the first time that I, highlights, let me see. Back in 1981 or something, I was the bare bottom that graced the billboards around Australia, but definitely around Melbourne, with an ad that said, "Get yours into bluegrass." Do you recall that?
No, but Ed seems to be typing that into Google. And this would be the day before computer restructuring of your art.
That's correct.
Billboard.
I was a young boy. Anyway, it was a completely anonymous ad, of course, but I happened to be living with a couple of journalists at the time, and one night, playful hijinks was over, and spoke to one of them sort of on the record type interview, saying it's all behind me, and trying to get to the bottom of this. So it appeared in the Herald Sun, which was all fine, but my mother was absolutely freaked out.
Oh,
screaming around my grandmother's house to pull out the offending page so she couldn't go. She would never know. I think she honestly did go to the grave completely innocent of that fact. Anyway, so that was the first highlight. The second highlight was the opening segment on the show called
Radio.
Andrew Denton's first show. So he'd done Beat Bugs, but he was coming back to with a second ABC show, blah blah blah. And he started out with a monologue to the audience about what the show was about and the topics that would all be up for discussion, and it would get people in to discuss things in a serious way. He just neglected to tell the audience that the first subject was sex.
Right.
And then, so the opening, his opening gambit, his opening question to me was, "So when did you lose your virginity?"
Okay.
So could have been a bit of a, there could have been a softening way to get into that. But I was glued up. It's just that they weren't. Anyway, so we swiftly came around to the subject of condoms, at which point I confess, as the queen of controversy that I am, that I wasn't keen on condoms, particularly when being stuffed down my throat.
There's that wonderful dog, Dennis.
Because there were people in the crowd, it was the wrong thing to say, of course.
Well,
for the best reason, showbiz.
Nothing like that could go to wear on this program.
So, the truth did that. Remember the truth?
Yeah, we love the truth.
So that also got me into a little bit of trouble.
I used to love my favourite story ever I've mentioned before on the truth was the man who had sex with a horse with the aid of a stool, and it was just a shot of a horse in the paper with the rape victim underneath it, just under its face. And then it said that the man is now being held under observation at such and such mental hospital in a cell overlooking picturesque Warrnambool Racecourse. The genius is writing for the truth. Those for the day. Look, enough of that. We don't have time for water coolers.
Yeah, that's well, set me a whole new train, actually.
Well, let's wind things up in just a moment. Here, get this. Brisbane, August 17th, Melbourne.